Sociologist professor Tony Campolo recalls a deeply moving incident that happened in a Christian junior high camp where he served. One of the campers, a boy with spastic paralysis, was an object of heartless ridicule. When he would ask questions, the boys would deliberately answer in a way of mockery and mimicking. One night, the cabin group chose him to lead a devotion before the entire camp. It was one more effort to have some fun at his expense. Unashamedly, the spastic boy stood up and, in his strained, slurred manner, each word coming with enormous effort, he said simply, "Jesus loves me, and I love Jesus." That was all. Conviction fell on the junior hires. Many began to cry. Revival gripped the camp. Years afterward, Campolo still meets men in the ministry who came to Christ because of that testimony. I hear that story and my heart is gripped at what this boy was able to do. Think about this. You have something severely wrong with you, and the cruelty of man comes at you with everything that they have, and they mock you for it. And what was this boy found doing? Think about this. He could have just chosen to shrink down and become nothing. But instead, what do we see from him? When he's given an opportunity to stand up, what is he seen saying to the people who are mocking him? These two things. I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me. Beautiful seven words that come from this boy that lead to a testimony of revival. That's what came from this boy. We're heading into a series here about being resilient. And I think this boy captures that completely, the idea of not quitting. That's how I sum up the idea of being resilient. In my life, I feel that I have been on mission for Christ, meaning I have known my call to serve God with my life, and more than just the idea of being a pastor, since grade 9, I feel that I've been on mission since grade 9, working to bring God's kingdom now and to do the things that Jesus has asked me to do. Since grade 9, and so in my short years of life that I've lived so far, these are a few of the experiences that I have had that kind of counter or make me need to be resilient. I have been tired to the point of tears, hurt by those who I've been called to serve, bitter to the point of rage, sick to the point of wanting to quit, ashamed to the point of wanting to hide, and stunned to be left speechless. And yet, this is what I know. I have not quit. I have not stopped getting up and continuing to work each day to bring Jesus into the room, to live a life for Christ. And what I have to say is this. The resilience that I have found in my own life has not come because of an ounce of myself. In fact, it has 100% come because of Jesus and being anchored to Him. Resilience is anchored in Christ. That's what we are going to be looking at today out of this sermon series. Being anchored in Christ. And I love that the Bible warns us and tells us, I don't want to say warns, wrong word. I would say the Bible informs us, you are going to have times where you will grow weary. You will have times in life that they're going to be hard, that you're going to desire to quit. But what I'm asking of you is to not quit. Here's how Isaiah 40, 30 and 31 puts it. Even youth grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Resilience is not found in the human condition, but founded in the Lord. The source to our strength to get up and step up into the things that we're called to is founded in being anchored in Jesus. And the passage we're really going to be looking at to really anchor us in the scriptures is Hebrews 12, 1 to 4. The interesting thing when you read it is it starts with a therefore. Every time you see a therefore, You need to ask, what's it there for? So we need to look at Hebrews 11. And if you were to give an overarching summary of what Hebrews 11 says, it's a story of these heroes of the faith, people who have come before our time, who lived by faith. But really, to put it like this, they did not quit. They kept getting up after each trial, after each hardship. And some of them didn't even get to receive the thing personally that they were being promised. But it's this story of resiliency that they lived. And the Bible makes mention of them as heroes of the faith. People who didn't quit. And that's what we are called to be. And so when we think about this, when we think about people of great faith. So you read the stories. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, some believers in the early church. And there's just numerous names. All don't quit. And that's our example that we look at. And we go, thinking of these people who didn't get to even receive all the things that were promised. But God still was faithful in. But they themselves didn't. With that, this is where we enter into our text. And it says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The Bible knew that we were going to need help and reminders to not grow weary. And so it's littered all over. And this is my heart cry for you today. It's going to start with this. Keep yourself anchored in Christ. But what's important for us to know is that we are called to be resilient people. We have the source, which is being anchored in Christ. But he actually is calling each of us to be people who do not quit on doing the good things that God sets before us. In this first part where it says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on who? On Jesus. There's our anchor. The pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. So the one who's made the way for us is Jesus, who keeps us anchored. But the part where I say we are called to be resilient is this. It says the race marked out for us. To me, when I hear that, it's like the Lord has set before me a race to run for my life. And when's the finish line, you might ask? Great question. The second you die, then your race is done. You got breath in your lungs, you ain't done. And so God has marked for us a race to run for his name. He's got things that he wants us to do. And so what we need to know is that we need to be resilient. It tells us here, persevere. Persevere, push through. Something I found in this idea of pushing through is I think about the idea of New Year's resolutions. Any of you had New Year's resolutions this year? You want to think about them now? And I know some of you are like, I'm still going strong. Most of us, 4 weeks after, are like, not so hot. Because this is the thing. It is easy to quit doing good things. It is not easy to quit doing bad things. This is funny. But it is easy to quit doing good things. I mean, stop going to the gym takes no effort whatsoever. I just have to stop. Being kind to my spouse. I just have to choose to let the words that sometimes enter my mouth first be the first ones to leave. To be loving takes effort. But we need to not be like that. And I find that this is one of the reasons we stop being resilient is that somebody hurts us. Something happened in the ministry I was serving in. Somebody cut so deep. I'm not going to step back into doing anything for God's kingdom. Or I'm just going to do this thing on my own now. But God asks us, and he's really cheering us on. And that's why it's written in so many different places, and that's why I'm going all over the scriptures today. In Galatians 6:9, it says, do not grow weary of doing good. The second half of it says, because in time you will reap a harvest. Let's go back to the first story I shared about that boy. We don't know the rest of the story. I don't even know what else happened during that week of that boy. But just imagine if he had grown weary of attempting to make good of the opportunities before him, when that opportunity to get to that campfire and say those seven words which took such effort for him, what would have come if he hadn't shared those seven words? I think about that. But he didn't grow weary. And what is the testimony? Is that there's men today who know Christ because of that story. We cannot grow weary, and God asks us to be anchored in him, and we are called to be resilient people, to keep running forward. Keep moving. And know this, Jesus is the one pulling us. He's the pioneer. He's the one perfecting the run that we're actually doing. He's going to carry us. But he's asking us to partner with him and moving the feet forward. Keep in mind, Jesus does 99% of the work, and he's asking us to do the one. But that one sure feels heavy sometimes. So that's the first thing. We are called to be resilient people. My second one is, make sure it's the only thing you're anchored to. Just prior to the verse I just read to you about, let us run the race marked out for us, it says this: since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. There are things that are going to create opportunities for us to desire to stop running. Those are the things that hinder. What is the thing in your life that you know pulls you away from Jesus? What would you rather do than spend time doing good things for God? You know, you have the opportunity to serve, handing out food to those in need. Or you could go surfing with your friends. Or you could have a nice relaxing evening at your house. Whatever it is, there's things that can sometimes hinder us. Now, those aren't bad things. Don't think I'm saying that. But I do think sometimes we can allow things to hinder our relationship between us and Jesus, being different things. Not all things, some of the things that hinder us aren't sinful things. It's like this gray area where the Bible says not all things are evil, but not all things are beneficial. That's the one I find sometimes we need to stop and think about for a minute. What will pull me away from Jesus is the question you have to ask. And Jesus asks us only to be anchored to him. Because what's going to get in the way of me being anchored to him is whatever other thing tugs at my heartstrings. What tugs at me? It tells us that no man can have two masters. Things that hinder me are things that are going to make me let go of being anchored to Christ and try to anchor to something else. And I need to remember the stories of those. What did they get to see? Well, they got to partner with God in doing his work. And they themselves will get to reap a reward eternally because of the work that they got to partner in doing with Jesus. So we need to make sure that we throw off those things. Because sin can get in the way. No, I had said earlier about hidden shame has almost made me not want to keep running, because it's embarrassing when people know the real you. It's embarrassing when things that you admit that you're not as perfect as you look, or whatever it is. Each of us has a thing. But I know that there's shameful things that we have all done. And Jesus is asking us to bring those things to the light. Anything left in darkness has the power of darkness over it. But anything exposed to the light becomes a light. The thing that could have been wrecking your life, that could have even wrecked your marriage, whatever it is, given to Jesus, becomes a testimony for the world to see, because all of a sudden they look at that thing and go, I remember that person. Look at how they've changed. So being anchored to Christ, to be resilient, means I need to let go of anything that's going to pull me away from only being anchored to Christ. So I need to throw them off. Let go of them to only be able to hold on to Jesus, so I can better run the race marked out for me. I can keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, not on anything else. So we need to make sure I'm only holding on to Jesus. A great verse to even think about in this battle is John 16:33, where it says, I've told you these things that you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Certain sins in our life that have had great effect, or negativity in our life, you go, I just can't overcome it. And I just want to challenge you and it's this, that Jesus has overcome everything of this world. Earthly solutions cannot answer the problems that we need answers for. Only Jesus has the power. So Jesus has conquered the land that you are trying to live in. And what I'm saying is land is certain sins that are of this world. Sins not of God's kingdom. And Jesus has overcome it. The question is, are you living in the land that Jesus has overcome? Or are you still in the prison cell which holds you? So that's my last piece of encouragement in that for you. To be able to get up and keep running. Expose the darkness that you're afraid of the world knowing, because in it, Jesus will be able to redeem it then. And it too can become a light. You are not defined by those things. So we're going to leave that at that. So throw off all the things that hinder. The third piece would be this. Remember Christ as our example of what it even means to be anchored. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We can be very forgetful people. You know, we need to preach the cross of Christ over ourselves. I think of that. We need to preach it. We need to also remember what's at stake. What are we fighting for? Why is the gospel message so profound? And if I lose that, my desire to keep fighting, if I lose the reason why I fight so hard to preach the gospel to so many, if I have forgotten the message for myself, that I don't preach that I need to remember the good news of Jesus Christ for my life, what that means for eternity, it can just shift my head. It can change the thing that I'm going to get anchored to. Most likely something in my life will come and it will hinder me. So Jesus here encourages us to remember Him, Himself for it. Alistair puts it this way. When it comes to sharing the gospel, the key question is not what should we do, but when can we leave? What he's getting at here is he sees so many people who hear the message and their question is, when's this message done? Not a heart of, what do we got to go and do for the gospel's message? And to preach and to really preach, Alistair says, is to die naked. And what it means is to get up and expose everything, is to give it your all. When I preach, I try to preach with every ounce of what I have in me. Because I am convinced of this message and I don't want to grow weary of doing this. And that's what I see when it comes to preaching. To know as well as when I preach, I'm going to have to do it again. Get up and share again. Because this message of Jesus is so valuable. And it's a life-changing message of what we're getting to invite people into. But as well, what I get to be a part of. When we get to preach the gospel message, and I think about resiliency in this, because we can grow tired of going and sharing Jesus' message. And he uses him as our example, but McShade puts it like this, to stand as a dying man in the face of dying men and women, and the issue of eternity is at stake. And in between the lostness in the grave and the eternity, there stands the cross of Jesus Christ. And with his arms stretched wide, people stare at that and they say, what shall we do? And there Jesus stands and he says, repent and be baptized. I preach that to myself. I remember the joy of my salvation. We can't forget what Jesus did for you and for me. But sometimes it's only intellectually. John Calvin says, we can know sometimes intellectually who Christ is. But it doesn't mean that I've actually embraced the gospel. We need to be that, because the gospel message is a compelling force and it's a correcting force. Without preaching the cross of Christ, we will revert ourselves to faith plus works, because the issue of preaching about being resilient people is if I forget the cross of Christ, all of a sudden it becomes faith plus works, and we need to work not to let that be. And we can't rely, if anything I say is relying on the first person, so when I talk about my salvation, if it's me using I, there's a problem. It needs to be in the third. It's not what I have done, but it's what He has done. It's what Jesus has done for you and for me. And the greatest example of a guy who was anchored in sin, who was doing crazy things, was the man on the cross beside Jesus. Think about this. Prior to him being there, he would have been one of the people mocking Jesus, most likely, scorning him with his buddies. But then he's up there with Jesus. Anyway, he turns and he looks at Jesus. He says his words, and Jesus says to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Think of this. This guy's never been in a Bible study. He's never been baptized. He doesn't know a thing about church membership. Just imagine that guy entering into the gates of heaven and them going, "You made it. How'd you do that?" And him looking around, "I don't know. I'm here though." And so one of the angels, this is just a make-up story, okay? One of the angels goes, "Well, can you at least tell me about justification by faith?" Crickets. He don't know. He pauses and he says, "I'm just going to go get one of my supervisor angels." Supervisor angel comes down, stares at this guy who was beside Jesus on the cross. He says, "Can you at least tell me about the doctrine of Scripture?" Crickets. But they're looking at him and go, "You made it. How'd you make it here?" And the man who was beside him said this. He said, the man on the middle cross said I could come. The man on the middle cross said I could come. The man who had anchored his life in sin, at the end of his life, got anchored in Jesus. And we need to be people who are anchored in Jesus. So we ourselves do not grow weary of doing good. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We get to do all of this stuff for Jesus because of what he has done on the cross. And we get to preach about the middle man in the cross. We get to say, I get to go to glory because of the middle guy of the three crosses. What he did for you and for me. And if we choose not to rely on that, we are trusting ourselves, our own experience, and our old fleshly ways. If I take my eyes off the cross, all I can give you is lip service, which leads to whatever success that is. While living as if my salvation relies on me, it will lead to despair and arrogancy. That's Alistair's words. We need to be people who are anchored in Jesus, because without Jesus, the resiliency that we want will not get us there. In fact, what we will find instead is despair. Or I will become prideful and blind to the things I don't need to. We want to be those people who keep fighting this fight for Jesus. And Jesus knew the fight that he called us into was too big for us to do on our own. He knew that. And so he said, "Don't worry, I'm a God of infinite supply. So I will remind you throughout this book I'm going to give you to tell you, do not grow weary. Rely on me, and if you do, you will soar on wings like eagles. And I will give you the strength that you need to keep fighting the good fight." So God stands there. He's the one in the field. If you were in a baseball game or something, and you are the person playing the game and there's someone watching, God is the one who you are playing for. Have you ever had that moment where there's, you know, 1,000 people before you and you're playing a game, but you're only thinking about that one person? And that's who you're playing for. And any play you make, that's the person in your head. That's like our God. He's sitting in the field cheering us on, going, "Come on, let's get this next one." He's cheering us on, saying, "Run the race. Don't grow weary." He has work for us to do. And keep this in mind. We are saved by grace through faith, not by works. Not by works. But God has work for us to do. He desires us to co-labor with him, anchored in him. And to be resilient people means we need to rely on him. Jesus has enough for you and for me, all that we will need. Who are you anchored into? Is there something in this life that pulls you away from Jesus? Has somebody hurt you? Have you grown tired of doing good? I challenge you to just look back to Jesus grab onto Him and He will give you the strength to keep marching, because to live a life for Christ cannot be done not being anchored in Jesus, and He will give us what it takes to be resilient people. We get to live God's message out in a broken and dying world. And here's His final thing that He says later on in that chapter. He says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level the path for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Jesus is asking us to take the stand of what we can, and it's this. Our faith is the only thing I think we have that we can really partner with God in. Everything else is relying on Him, but I have to activate it through faith. And what comes about through it? Well, I get to strip, my knees get strengthened, and I get to start moving. And the testimony of the harvest is the lame can be healed. God wants to use you and me to do His work, but it starts with being anchored in Jesus. Let's just do a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank You for this day. Is there something that pulls me away from being anchored in You? Would You reveal it now? Some hurt that someone has done. Something that pulls me away. A sin. Would You reveal it if there is any? Jesus, You tell us that You are cheering us on. And that You want us to not grow weary. But I just ask now that You would speak to our people. God, would You speak to each person? Would You reveal to them what You think about them? What do You say about them, Lord Jesus? What are You calling us into? What are You calling us to be resilient back into? What You're asking us not to quit. If there's something I quit on, to get back on the horse and keep going. We love You, Lord. Thank You that You give us the strength, and that being anchored in You is what it takes to actually live a life for You. And You do it with us. We love You, Lord.